Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, 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 everyone. Well, this is going to be a different broadcast tonight. I am still in Southern California in a hotel room. Had a busy, busy week so far. And great service this morning. If you didn't catch that service at Harbor Christian Center, you can find the replay on harborchristiancenter.com. And they'll have the Sunday morning. We had a great service. I taught a good word and ministered to some. So we are here. I have a busy 2 days ahead of me before I get back home. But I wanted to take some time to go over some thoughts of my heart and do some scripture study, investigation, revelation. I love the Word of God. Word of God's like opening up a new book every time you break the page open. It's new all the time. What a wonderful thing that is. So as people are joining, and I want to encourage those that tune in later, because much of our audience is those who can tune in when they have the chance. Not everybody can be disciplined to be with us on this live broadcast. But I'm going to stay with the live broadcast for a season, see how the Lord blesses that. And but I want to encourage you to subscribe, if you haven't, to our channel. It's a big help. Also, give us a comment. Good ones, hopefully, and that will boost our ratings. Also, share it with a friend, and when you do that, that is a blessing also. Thank you for all those good things that help us and bless us back. We'd love to have you as a part of our family. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 3, and I'm just going to dig around here a little bit in some of Paul's writings. Now, my title today, kind of an odd one, how to walk on water without getting your feet wet. Well, we get a lot of pushback, feedback, criticism from being too spiritual and what's the point of that? We don't need that. We don't need to walk on water. We have a boat. Why get out of the boat? We're perfectly safe here. All those things. Well, I'm reminded of who we are. I'm reminded that we have been redeemed from sin to salvation. I'm reminded that we serve a God that is mystical and a mystery in the great sense. Mystery to the world, obviously. To us, he's revealing himself. Now, because of that, this walking on the water is a kind of like a poke in the eye. there's a miracle. This is a miracle. See that guy walking on the water? That's not normal. That's God's voice to you. Every time God does something miraculous or out of the normal, put it that way, even though some people don't believe in miracles, it's just, odd stuff. Out of the normal. When God does that, he's doing it to get our attention so we'll refocus ourselves back on him. The withered tree, when Jesus spoke about the withered tree, that was a odd thing. He didn't have to kill that tree. He wasn't mad at the tree. It was an example of God's power on earth to people. All the things, turning water into wine, the coin in the fish's mouth, the feeding of the thousands, both 4,000 and 5,000. All those things are just God saying, hey, you, I'm here. Pay attention to me. I'm your master. I've got something good for you. Now, well, it's a wake-up call, isn't it? Ephesians. I love Ephesians. One of my favorite Pauline writings. I love Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation, now that's a big word meaning stewardship, of the stewardship of the grace of God, the stewardship of the grace of God. Think about it for a moment. We have a responsibility of the revelation that we receive to steward it. I catch myself sometime, and over the years, obviously, not just today, but over the years, I catch myself wanting to get just, you know, another something. And especially in the early days when you're following a teacher, you're going to a convention, you're hungry for a subject to be revealed. So you just start cramming and you get the information, and somebody else's revelation is not really, it's almost illegal, but we do it to get somebody else's revelation. It has to become a living thing to you. It has to be revealed to you, really. Even though Paul and the writers of the scriptures and preachers all through the generations and ages have preached the revelation, until it comes to you and I as a revelation, we miss it. Until we get the revelation of who God is and what God is doing to us, it doesn't have the impact. It doesn't have the power that we need to do it in. So there is a stewardship of grace. How do you steward grace? Well, if I had a precious item, which I have a few of them, most of them are on four wheels, and if you know me, you know I love old cars. If I had a precious item, there would be things I would do to protect it and to maintain it, especially in the weathers, and to improve it. So that's stewardship. A steward is someone who has money that is, in the case of God giving us something, we steward that. And that means we take care of it and have an increase. You know, the scriptures in the Testament that talk about the stewards that were bad stewards, lazy and slothful, they got it taken away, didn't they? Matthew 25. Those three men in Matthew 25, they had something given to them by the master so that they could invest it and then bring back a harvest to the master, and he would reward them for it. You know, well, one of them increased multiple times. The other one didn't do bad, you know, fair. Third one flunked out completely because he hid. He was afraid that he was going to miss it and lose it. So he hid it, got nothing. And he had it taken away from him. So if we look at that same thing in the area of grace. Now, grace is the empowering presence of the Lord to take us to our target and fulfill our destiny. That's what grace means in a general capsule. That's not the last teaching on grace, but that's a general thought of grace. Sometimes we think, well, grace is the fact that I can do what I want and get away with it because God's a God of grace. And he'll forgive me even though I'm a big jerk. Well, I think that's out of, that's not what I want to say. That's not what I want to do. Okay. So I want to do what the Father wants me to do. And it takes grace to do that. I need the empowering presence of the Lord. I need the empowering presence of the Lord to fulfill my destiny. So how do I steward that? How do I guard it? How do I bring it back multiplied. Well, any gift we have is like a muscle. You exercise it and it becomes stronger. You use it and it becomes stronger. I've been a long time student of old cars, collecting cars. Now, that's, you know, a passion. And one thing I've learned over and reading mostly on, you know, books and magazines and videos, you can take a premier pristine car that's to the tens, an old classic of some kind, and you put it away and let it sit, even in a nice room, and it will deteriorate because it's not used. The rubber starts going bad. Things start just going funky because there's no exercising of the muscle, the motor, the oil, the lubrication, the heat, and all that. And if you do that, start it up, let it run, run around the block, even if it's something you don't want to put a lot of miles on, you steward that so it's not going to deteriorate. So grace then needs an exercise. And to exercise grace, you've got to get out of the boat and walk on the water once in a while. Now, what do I mean by that? What does that mean? Walking on the water is kind of shorthand or, you know, a signet of doing something daring out of the ordinary by faith because God called you. There you go. Peter was in the boat, saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, whoa, how can that be? And Jesus said, come. And something got a hold of the old boy, and he jumped over the side of that boat and walked on the water. And we're tough on Peter. Peter gets some bad knocks. I'm sure he was a rough and tumble braggart at times, you know, and wanted to cut people's heads off or ears or whatever. But he did have a boldness that was amazing when it came to doing things that nobody else in the crowd was going to do. He whips out the sword. He's going to defend Jesus. He swings at the guard, you know, up in the garden. And the angel, I'm sure it was an angel, knocked his sword off. And all he got was his ear instead of his neck. Well, there's other things Peter did. He was the one that, you know, took off. And then he hangs around trying to peek in to see what's really happening to Jesus. And he starts using language that, hey, aren't you one? Didn't you go with Jesus? Weren't you one of those Jesus people? And he got all ticked off. But listen, he had something in him that caused him then, when the book of Acts happened, it caused him to stand in front of that crowd and declare the Holy Ghost had come. Well, Jesus had returned in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now that's boldness. That's walking on the water without getting your feet wet. I'm challenging you all today to stretch your faith, stretch your imagination. Now, I know, don't blame this teaching. You know, don't blame me and the teaching. When you go off and do something foolish, when you didn't get a word from God or you didn't have any agreement from your wife, well, the preacher said, go do it. There is this thing about being called. Come. That's the word. That's the word from God. Now, what is a word from God? What do you mean by that? I'm so used to some of the preacher talk and church talk and spiritual language that sometimes I forget. Some people don't know. Well, a word from God can be in many ways. In the one side, it's an audible voice in the night, like Samson had, or Samuel had. Samuel. He goes into Eliah the priest, and says, "Eli the priest, have you called me?" No. Well, that's the audible voice. Rather rare, happens to some more than others, but there's another kind of voice then, down a degree or two, that you can actually, I hear the Lord, it's almost like in my head. not, it, you know, sounds like it's physical, but it's almost in my head. You know, Paul, when he was on the road, the other people heard noise. They just didn't know it was the voice of God. It sounded like thunder. Well, the voice of God then can be in a witness, a feeling. Wow, I just feel like that's the right thing to do. Man, I feel like I need to do this. So you meet, you know, you agree with that person you're married to. Be sure to do that. If you're not married, have a spiritual partner that really understands and prays with you and knows how to encourage one another. You need that. You need that strength. And get some agreement from your pastor if you're going to jump out of the boat. And if you never, you know, you don't have any experience, but you can do it. The miraculous side of Christianity is not all that impossible. It's not all that unusual. Christianity itself is a weird, unusual craziness according to the world. I mean, we believe in a God we can't see. We follow a Christ that history says all kinds of stuff about him, but we believe he is the Son of God. And we believe he moved out of the throne, out of the temple, into our little skinny bodies, frames, our bones, or whatever it is. That's strange. So why is it strange to walk on the water? Why is it strange to heal the sick? Why is it strange to cast devils out? And as the scripture says, if any deadly thing bites you, it's not going to kill you. You get poison in your soup sometime when you're out in the mission field and they're trying to wipe you out. It's not going to kill you. That's walking on the water without getting your shoes wet. Oh, I tell you, if we're going to impress the world, and I don't mean impress like, ooh, aren't we neat? No, I mean change and shake them to their core and bring them to Christ. And so they call out and say, oh, the glory of God, I want it. If we're going to do that, there's got to be a supernatural edge, got to be a supernatural cutting edge on this experience of Christianity. So Paul goes on to say in this third chapter of Ephesians, he talks about the stewardship of grace, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now we go further down to, I think it's Romans 25, and we find out that the mystery in Colossians 1:26, to them, he said, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the mystery that was hidden from ages and generations, all through the time that the Jewish people were containers of the Godhead and of the gospel that we have in the Old Testament. They were containers of it. They had no clue. It was a mystery. They had no clue that when it came to the trigger point, when Christ would come, that it would spill out and take the whole world. Somehow they were feeling that it's going to be contained. The Messiah was coming to the Jewish race, so forth. But when Christ came, Paul received a mystery. Now think about this. He received a mystery, and he is kind of an odd duck. He's been killing people and putting them in jail, and then he shows up and wants to be a preacher, wants to join the club. Well, you can imagine, unless you're real spiritual, you can imagine that, hey, I'm suspicious of this guy. I think he's an undercover terrorist or something. Well, he comes along with revelations that I'm sure shook those people up. Peter even said, Paul's writings are hard to understand. Well, he was hearing the heart of God, like some of the Jewish leaders could not. Now, are we back? I am in a hotel, and the reception, I think, is not good. So let me wrap this up and pray for you. I want to encourage you to step out and walk on the water. And God's going to keep your feet dry. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege of being together tonight, even though the internet is a little uncooperative. And we release the faith of God to press into those things you've called us to, in Jesus' name. Don't forget, send us a note. Let us know you're there. Let us know you've been watching. It's a great encouragement to know that. And when you do that, be sure and give a comment so that we can know where you're from and what you're, how God's affecting your life. It's encouraging to us. Until tomorrow morning, we will see you then. God bless.